I'll be in Tampa. We'll be celebrating WMNF and the screening at Sunray Cinema, and on Saturday and Sunday at the O Cinema in Miami. You can get details at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
The promise of America is freedom, equality. But right now, those pillars of our democracy are fragile. Reproductive rights, voting rights, the right to make your own choices and have your voice heard. We must act now to restore and protect these freedoms for us and for the future. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we are fighting in every state, every day to defend your rights and the rights of all people.
We have got to be here. We've got to be strong to protect those rights.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought for everyone to have a voice and equal justice. And we will never stop. Because we, the people, means all of us. To learn more about defending our democracy, go to myaclu.org today.
And don't forget to keep listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's the best way to stay in touch with democracy and all kinds of other cool things. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, it's a nice day. It's pleasant. I feel like, things are somewhat positive. It's not just because the Knicks are in the finals. I don't really care that much. It's not just because of all the cool World Cup games we'll be seeing. It's just a feeling in the air, you know, that we're moving in the right direction. We are moving in the right direction. I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like we're doing good things. And this radio station personifies that.
Yeah, and it's not sweltering. That's wonderful. And, very interesting, exciting times. And as you said, you know, lots going on, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So busy that apparently planting wildflower seeds in other parts of the facilities just aren't a priority for... radio on a community radio station such as WUSB. Now, you can explain to the audience.
I'm trying to explain.
Your dereliction.
Very busy lately, and yes,
what, we have what? Too busy to go scratch at the ground a little with a rake.
We have, I believe the term is a gross of seeds. Is that the right term?
You could say. I mean,
and it's an awful. And it's it's June, and we haven't gotten around to planting them yet. But they come up fast because we did plant some. And they were up pretty much by the time we got back inside. No, not that fast, but a couple of days. A couple of days.
Are you done with your excuses?
Yeah, you can put your drink down there.
Okay.
But yeah, we do have more. And
well, I'm glad to hear that.
Maybe later tonight we can plant
some. That's possible.
Just get rid of them all.
Well, the first test area started coming up, and it's thriving. It's doing very well. So I want to deploy.
Something came up. We assume it's what we planted.
It's a whole patch of like green sproutlings
right,
of all types.
I don't see any flowers.
It's sort of in the realm of it takes
wild flowers. Where are the flowers?
It was like 4 to 6 weeks at least, I think.
always a catch.
We got to keep watering and hopefully not have another frost. But
you want to talk about the baby bird? Because I think we should talk about the baby bird.
Oh, this story too. Okay.
We were in the East Village.
Walking around.
Yep. Minding our own business. And we see this woman who is perplexed. Obviously there's, you basically had the first encounter. I was...
I was at the curb kind of just standing, and this woman was walking... a couple dogs, they're very small ones, and one of them was kind of hanging out by me, like just doing its own thing, but I was cool, so it was like minding its thing, kind of wanted to go in this direction that I think maybe was part of its normal route. Maybe there's like a park or something.
There's a dog park nearby.
So the like woman was on the other side of me, down a ways with this other dog, but like picking something up. So I assumed what you might think, that there was natural things she was taking care of, when you let your dog out. So, and then she starts walking over to me with her hands cupped with whatever she's picked up.
An offering of one.
And then she has her arm out and she's like showing me after a while. I was really thinking to myself, is she really coming at me with this? What is that?
People do that.
I think it is. And she exclaimed, "I found a baby bird." Yeah. So she had been rescuing or otherwise like scooping up, like sliding it into her hand, and it was still kind of moving its mouth and asked what to do, didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's very tiny. As soon as I realized, I panicked. I was like, just frantic. I was like, oh my gosh, that is not at all what I was expecting. Uh-huh. I thought it was like half a cigarette or something. I don't know what she picked up.
Why would she be walking to you cupped with a cigarette in her hand?
I have seen and understand New York to be a varied and eclectic place. Uh-huh. So, it sure schooled me in that regard,
right?
Because all of a sudden I was helping rescue this thing. Now I don't know that I helped that much, but
you did.
I immediately
searched.
I looked. I was like, "Well, what do we do?" And I said, "Let me search." She's holding this thing, and we identified.
You stopped a taxi and asked him what to do.
Yeah, I was going to call 911 and get an ambulance.
People do that. People call 911 for the craziest.
We need a stretcher. I need oxygen. We're talking preemie here. We need an incubator tank.
Side note: do you remember last week where the rocket ship exploded down in Florida?
Yeah,
this thing just massively exploded, and there's a video of somebody recording it, and you hear the person saying, call 911. It's like they don't know about this massive explosion, and you're going to be the person to report it. And you're not even the person. You have to tell somebody else, call 911, because, yeah, they're going to want to know about this. Anyway, continue. You didn't call 911 for the baby bird. Did you?
You know, I love that, you know, no, I didn't.
Okay.
And people are concerned, and, you know, sometimes you don't know exactly the right response for a given situation because, you know, you're just as shocked as everyone else and think, you know, you have an impulse. Mm-hmm. So the impulse for my sake, I was just searching it up and then starting to follow as quickly as I could whatever result I had, which was to identify what kind of bird it was. It was obviously a nestling, not a fledgling. A fledgling has down or like some beginnings of feathers.
A fledgling is a bird that has not yet learned how to fly, but is basically interacting with its parents and looking around and trying to figure out the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas a nestling is a bird that can't do anything, really.
Yeah. And this was a very tiny one. So it might have been like a starling or a sparrow or some kind of very small finch
type. My money is on a sparrow, but that's just me.
Yeah, it could be. And I saw some on like an escape or some kind of structure off the front of a building a nest sort of right up in a corner. So I don't know, maybe it had fallen from great height or in one of the planters or something around that was a more natural setting. But regardless, it said, as soon as you identify it, if you find a nestling, mm-hmm. you need to create or otherwise either look immediately and try to find the original nest and replace it, which, as I said, the closest I could really see that was a nest that birds were flying to was several stories up on a emergency ladder. So I then said, progressed to what's the best option after that, and the woman's still standing there cupping this thing, and I just blurted out, we need to build a surrogate nest,
a
which was
surrogate
was
nest.
Yeah, so I was asking, like, can we find a container? That's actually where I was going, is like, we need a container of some kind. So she went upstairs with this very small animal, and we waited for a while, but I figured
she took her dogs too, right?
Yeah. Okay. She had pets and stuff, like, so I waited for a little bit, but I had, you know, I had a place to move on to myself, and I figured that she had kind of handled this and
no, she's got this.
Would create this, something. Yeah. And I was going to be back in the area later.
We passed by later, several hours later, to see if there was any kind of an update, and there was.
There was a little hanging nest made out of a couple coffee filters and I believe some paper towels, which is what I read, if you don't have straw or something.
She constructed a nest in her apartment.
And it was very, very high up. Uh-huh. And
and something was swinging inside it. So I think that the bird was in there.
Yeah, it was blowing. And I hope that the other birds flying around find it.
So. Well, I mean, I think that's better than you dropping it in a nest. Because what if it's not the right nest? What if it's not the right species? You know, that could lead to all kinds of problems.
Right. Well, from what we read, bird parents aren't particular. They don't have an incredible sense of smell.
They're any not, small bird will do?
Well, I mean, they're not going to reject it out of hand.
Yeah, like, but don't put it in a hawk's nest. All. If you put it in a hawk's nest, you know, it's not going to reject it, but it's not going to raise it either.
Oh, right. So that's always a possibility. It wasn't that high up. I think those birds tend to not hang out at lower levels.
Can I just express
the canopy,
my concern over parenting in the bird community? Because, look, you have these birds, these small birds that can't fly. Is it responsible for you to build your nest so high up off the ground that, you know, falling out of the nest is likely going to be fatal? I mean, that's, you know, why don't you build a little closer to the ground, at least until your kids learn how to fly and have a fighting chance? Because I got to tell you, you know, you see those nests way up there, like three stories up, like you said. I don't think you're thinking about the young birds very much. You're looking for status. You're looking for a view. Okay, great. You got that. You can fly. You can enjoy that. But think about your kids, you know, because they do fall out a lot of times. And while you guys are at work, you know, when you come home at night, all those birds might not be there, you know, unless you have a sitter or something. I don't know. I've never raised a baby bird. I don't really know. But good work, though. Good work, you know, just being a part of that. And that's a New York moment. That is a typical, people have this vision of what New York City is. That is what New York City is. People who care about baby birds.
Oh, people are so attentive, especially in the neighborhoods and in the boroughs. It's really unique and protective of and guarding a lot of times the natural environment. What is there in the city is well attended to. People care about green space and trees, and especially when it's nice out, you know, a place to stretch out and read a book or lay on some grass and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, okay, so we have a bunch of things to update people on. First of all, okay, last week, if you recall, we really tore into Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman. And, you know, we got a few complaints about that, actually. And it was inevitable. And every time you do something like that, where you pick somebody apart for up to, what, 20 minutes or so, you know, the white supremacy, the racism, the corruption, the ignorance, you're going to get complaints.
Yeah, they're really comprised of a lot of interest groups, and they all kind of want to defend him.
Oh, no. These were people that were mad that we didn't get to other aspects. They had their own examples, and they wanted us to focus on those examples of his faults. And I'm sorry, we just don't have enough time in the day to do that. We can't cover everything that's wrong with Bruce Blakeman. However, as a peace offering here, here's a story. Port Authority police have arrested a member of Bruce Blakeman's Armed Citizens Deputy Program. That's happened on Thursday, after TSA agents discovered a loaded handgun in his carry-on luggage at Kennedy Airport. Yeah, these are the kinds of people that he encourages. And yet another example of raising the bar, so to say. So, yeah, that's Blakeman for you. Running for governor. Running for governor. Wants to spread the love even more.
Send somebody else. Come on, people. Let's perhaps not our finest. I don't know. I'm not a native of the area. I'm not familiar, but this doesn't seem like an approximation of what's needed.
This is not the way.
No. What else you got?
$250 bills. What the hell? Okay. Where do I begin? Trump. I'm sorry. It's just we live in such a ridiculous time. Trump wants to put his face on money. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that. But he wants to do it now. It's the 250th anniversary of this country. And if you don't know, the United States is where we're broadcasting from. 1776. It's now 2026, 250. We don't have a $250 bill because it's stupid, but he wants to have one anyway, and he wants to put his face. It's never happened before where a living president has been on money. I think it's something that Congress has to approve, but since there is no real Congress to speak of, he just gets what he wants. Here's my question. He wants to do this. He thinks he can do it. It's June now, okay? July 4th is in a month. I don't know when you plan on having this $250 bill with your damn face on it. But you can do that in a month or, you know, maybe a couple of months. What's the deal with the Harriet Tubman 20, right? It was a 20, wasn't it? Yeah. So it takes years. Was it a 5? No, I think it's a 20. Yeah. Can we look that up somewhere? Can our research department do something for a change?
I think it was a 20. It is a 20.
Yes. All right. Well, whatever it is, we don't have it. We were supposed to get it during the first Trump administration, and they delayed it then. Then when we had Biden, it was put back on the burner, but then somebody forgot about it. It didn't happen again. It's still not happening. So they always say it takes time. Well, how come it doesn't take time here? When you want to do something completely asinine, they can fast track that. Anyway, Treasury Department is preparing to print $250 bills with Trump's face on them. And it's just waiting for Congress's green light. And since Congress will do whatever Trump says, the Republicans anyway, and they're in the majority right now, it's likely this could just sail on through. Now, the Treasury Secretary is named Scott Bessent. I think I'm pronouncing that right. He has two mandates for currency. At present, no living person can be on U.S. currency. But what are you saying there, Scott? How are you going to solve that problem? Did he just threaten the president? I think he might have. No living. Okay. So that's a hurdle. That's a hurdle you got to get past, Scott. Number two, the currency must say "In God We Trust." Well, somehow I don't think that's going to be a high hurdle to get past. Bessant added there was proposed legislation on Capitol Hill to change the first requirement so that a living person, Donald J. Trump, thanks for pointing that out because we lost track of who we were talking about here, so that he could be on a $250 bill. At Treasury, we prepare things in advance. So we have prepared in advance that if the legislation is passed, but we will stick. I'm going to read that sentence again. Tell me if this sentence makes sense. At Treasury, we prepare things in advance. So we have prepared in advance that if the legislation is passed, but we will stick to the law. That "but" doesn't belong there. I'm sorry. That "but" is wrong. So it looks like they intend to make this sail on through somehow.
We're getting new tens this year, I just read.
Who's going to be on?
I don't know.
One of the Proud Boys? Well, I mean, who's going to be on the $10 bill?
I honestly don't know. And the Tubmans are scheduled to be released in 2030.
I don't think that there's anything untoward. Great word. Great word, not used nearly enough. I don't think there's anything untoward about having the president of the United States, the person who was president of the United States on the 250th anniversary bill. You know, he has trouble with sentences. That's a clumsy sentence, too. I don't mean to nitpick, but it's just hard to read this guy. Treasury Department spokeswoman confirmed that the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is conducting appropriate planning and due diligence and is moving proactively to produce the bill should legislation be signed into law. Should the banknotes be produced, it would not be the only way Trump's presidency would be immortalized. Oh, believe me, it's immortalized already. There's no forgetting this. Onto paper currency. In March, the Treasury said it would include Trump's signature on paper currency, which is another first for a sitting president. I can live with that one. I can live with his, you know, his scrawl on a bill. That's not a big deal. But his face? No, I'm not going to accept, or not that anyone's going to be handing me a $250 bill, but I'm not going to accept anything with his face on it. I'll tell you that right now. So just keep that away from me.
I don't know if I don't like the idea. I hate it. I think it's awful. But I'm all for the $250. You know what? If it just helps money laundering and corruption, sure. Let's just increase the denomination. That's fine. His face on it, awful, poor taste. I think it's tempting fate a little bit if the grand tradition is what it is. It's the universe works, it just seems like you're cracking your thumb at tradition. But I'll leave that where it is to the, you know, metaphysical types and all that. And I'll only be like comforted by how quickly all of them will be defaced.
Well, yeah, there's that for sure. But look, consider this, Kyle. Now, when you pay somebody lots of money, there's a term that goes with that. You know, I think some rap artists have used the term. It's all about the, and the word is not Lincoln's. What is the word they use?
Benjamins.
The Benjamins, yeah. So when this bill is worth 2.5 times that, what do you think they'll be saying? It's all about the Trumps. Do you want that? Do you want that to be our legacy? For people to be referring to Trumps as something of value? Ew. It just bugs me.
Yeah. I don't think it's very representative. For some people, it is. This is the pinnacle. This is such a good idea for some people. But yeah, and maybe it will not have value. Maybe people won't accept it, and it will defeat the entire purpose of it. But it's what are you going to do? I mean, if they print them, they print them.
It's just there are no there's no guidelines anymore. Basically, he says he wants something that's completely outlandish and has never been done before and is just wrong on so many levels. And we all, you know, raise a stink about it, and it just happens. It just happens anyway, you know?
Well, let's stop it then.
Yeah, I'd like to stop it.
Let's put the brakes on that.
How do we stop it?
Let's break the mold. Let's not have the plans in place at the Mint.
All we have to do basically is delay things a few months. And if Congress changes, then Congress can't do this. They can't pass this. Right now, Congress, you know, we got Nick LaLotta sitting down there wherever he is, doing whatever Trump says, and he'll just approve this. And that'll be that. And there are so many Nick LaLottas around this country right now, and there are more of them than there are people opposing Trump. So until that changes, he can basically do whatever he wants if it involves Congress. So that's kind of scary.
Totally. And there's so many things that people are not want that they want to stop that I think it just falls. It gets by because people don't prioritize it. They have other issues that need attention because of the way they're governing. So absolutely, the political prerogative, it might make a short run of this if people can go and I'm correcting myself, to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, the BEP, to stop this action or get a better, more representative portrait on there that people feel embodies the 250th anniversary and $250 bills, the value, this sort of inherent value we want to attribute to that denomination. Maybe it's an object, an ideal, or a figure that we've used, like liberty or other objects in national sort of publications and symbols. So,
well, speaking about engraving and printing, a judge has ruled that Trump cannot have his name on the Kennedy Center and that it's got to come off. You know, one by one, these things are being undone, which is great to see. It's a big waste of time, but it's great to see that at least there is some avenue for positive change. So, of course, you know, he's complaining about that, and he's probably going to try and run to his friends at the Supreme Court about this ridiculous issue. But right now, his name has to come off. And I just wonder, you know, when they pull his name off, is it going to be like stained where the letters were so that you still see Trump as kind of a ghostly type of lettering in the background?
There will probably be holes where they fill in with grout, and I don't think there will be a stain because it wasn't up long enough it to be faded or to have any kind of weather on it.
On Wall Street, they still have the holes from when the bomb blew up back in, I think, the 1920s. And that's kept there as, you know, a battle scar, as a reminder of what can happen to democracy if you're not careful. So if you know, the word Trump can serve as a warning to that kind of a thing, then okay, yeah, I can accept that. I can definitely accept that. So yeah, that's happening. And we'll see what happens with the $250 bill. Boy, that is stupid. That is really crazy. Although, you know, in Europe, they have on the euro, I don't think they have a $250 or 250 euro bill. They have, do they have 500? They had 500. I don't know if they still have it. We had 500.
Maybe it is 200.
You know, I'm not sure. But they have, you know, we have the 25-cent piece, so that's 2.5. I'm pretty sure some currencies in the past had pretty much went 1, 5, 10, 25. So it's not unheard of, but it's this particular way of doing it is just insane. What do you got?
5, 10, 20, 50, 100, 200, and 500. Seven denominations.
What are we talking about here?
That's the euro.
Oh, it's a euro. Okay. Yeah. Can you get a 500 euro bill still to this day?
I believe.
The cool thing about the euro is that the bills get bigger as they get more valuable. So a 5 euro bill is tiny. A 10 euro bill is a little bit bigger. And if you can find a 500 euro bill, it must be huge. I remember the French franc. You know, I went to Europe before the euro happened, and every country had its own currency. And the French currency was just really big. You had to fold it. It was you know, the valuable bills were huge. So yeah, that's something. That is something. Okay, what do we have now? We have a new spy chief. This is fun. I don't know if you even heard about this one, Kyle. But there's a guy named Bill Pult. Have you heard that name?
No.
You know everybody. You know all the names. You know all the senators and congresspeople and just all those lurking in the background.
I'm pretty well versed in the sort of who's who of the last decade or so, but this guy, a lot of new folks I don't recognize.
This guy literally looks like a bulldog. He really does. Look up Bill Pult and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Where is this? What districts?
Well, he doesn't come from a district per se. He runs the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which includes Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And he has absolutely no experience in intelligence. And I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying the kind of intelligence that he's in charge of now. He has no acting director of national intelligence. He has no experience. There is concern. They call him an attack dog. He looks like a bulldog, and they call him an attack dog. And putting him in possession of the country's most prized secrets. There's a bunch of analysts who are afraid that could further politicize the office, and if that's even possible, and erode U.S. intelligence gathering. Pult is not experienced in national intelligence, was an investor and executive of the home building firm Poot Group before serving. That's the name he came up with, Poot Group. Or Pult. Is that a T or an L? I guess that's an L. Pult. All right, Pult Group. Still silly. Before serving in government. He will be placed at the top of the U.S. sprawling intelligence community and have access to the country's most sensitive national secrets. After sanity comes back from its vacation, these people still will know the secrets. So I don't know what the plan is for that, but that's kind of scary. It's the latest example of some of the amateurish, absurd assignments that Trump has made in the second term, said Brett Bruen, a former diplomat and National Security Council official under the Obama administration, who now runs the firm Global Situation Room, which is a less silly name. And I think he has more experience with intelligence. He continues, it opens up the very real possibility we could see our intelligence structures and systems further eroded and the role of intelligence used in more inappropriate and even illegal ways. So hang on tight. It's going to get fun. All right. Delaney Hall in New Jersey. Boy, that's gotten a bit of attention lately. This is the immigration detention center that people are demonstrating outside of. It's important that people demonstrate. It absolutely is. And there are all kinds of horrible things going on inside that facility. People have heard nightmare stories about you got to call them prisoners because that's how they're being treated. These are people that are basically immigrants that may or may not have the paperwork they need. And in many cases, they do have the paperwork they need, but they're still imprisoned. It's something we can't tolerate. And that's why people have been showing up there and basically battling it out with ICE. And I think that's about the most patriotic thing you can do is, you know, when you have a fascist force that is grabbing people off the streets, separating families, terrorizing people, keeping so many of us locked inside our homes, afraid to go outside and be seen because we might be grabbed and thrown into a van. That's our country right now. So anybody who fights that, and I don't care how you fight that, you're doing God's work. You really are, because this is not our country. This is not what any of us signed up for. What happened recently, though, I don't really understand this. Right now, there's a curfew between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. Mayor Ross Baraka, he actually was attacked by them months ago. And I believe he is the grandchild or maybe child of Amiri Baraka, who had a presence here at Stony Brook in the Africana Studies Department, which it's a small world. It really is. He has imposed a curfew because he's trying to keep order as well. The move came after another night of standoffs between law enforcement and demonstrators at the facility, as protesters could be seen in photographs and videos fighting over barricades as police used riot shields to push them back. A video posted on social media showed police on horseback marching into crowds, attempting to break up groups of protesters. Now, that came about after New Jersey Governor Mickey Schirelle basically took over the law enforcement aspect of all of this, so that instead of the protesters fighting directly with ICE, now they're fighting with New Jersey state troopers. And New Jersey state troopers can be seen basically charging into them with horses and being being somewhat violent. You know, there's always a call for the demonstrators to be peaceful, but there's never a call for the police to be peaceful. And the videos clearly show that they're not being peaceful. They're being very aggressive. I don't understand the logic behind saying, yeah, we'll take over right now so that ICE isn't fighting them directly, so that our people are. Because now you have people cursing out the governor and cursing out the mayor. And these are allies. These are people that hate ICE as well and want them out of there. So I don't know. I'm not a governor. I haven't been a governor. I don't know what the chess move is here. But it just seems that if you make the people you agree with your enemy, it kind of weakens your cause. So I don't know. Let's see how this plays out. But right now it doesn't, you have people in the Trump administration thanking her, saying, yes, now it's your problem.
Well, people have the right idea. You got to get in the way. You're right. It is a weird move. Maybe they thought they'd be more comforted, you know, that it wasn't ICE that was handling this, but they're using the exact same tactics. Uh-huh. I mean, nobody's fooled by structures that, by definition, are top down and trained in using force.
Yeah, I don't
go figure. They used force. Oh my gosh.
I don't think that police force consider themselves to be friendly with the demonstrators. I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody might have been kidding themselves, is what I think. But or it was just ICE trying to offload what was becoming a policing issue for them, preventing them from doing their job, which is why you get in the way.
You want them not to be able to do their job. That's exactly the whole point.
Yeah,
make their lives miserable. Not the people who are part of the state that you're. And the thing is, this is what Schirelle and others are saying.
That maybe it's a political thing she's trying to protect.
We have seen people who are arrested don't live in New Jersey. Well, I didn't know that was a requirement to protest against fascism, that you had to be local. You know, I don't care where you come from. If you're fighting for the same thing that I'm fighting for, you know, we could use all the support we can get. So to say that, yeah, these people are outside agitators. Well, isn't ICE an outside agitator?
Or how about the Proud Boys that showed up? Were they all from Jersey?
Might have been, but probably not. No. Yeah.
It's just interesting that, there's a double standard there.
It's not relevant. It's not relevant to what's going on here. So, all right. And a kind of similar thing, hundreds were arrested, not having anything to do with ICE. Having to do with football. Yes, football in Paris. After the Champions League finale, where PSG defeated Arsenal in what was really a great game. Unfortunately, it ended in a shootout. But it was, 1-1 for 120 minutes. And then up to the very last penalty kick.
Oui.
Yeah. You'd think winning would make people not be violent and full of vandal spirit. But no, that's sports for you. Hundreds of people were detained by police in Paris as violence swept through the capital late Saturday after the victory of Paris Saint-Germain Football Club in the UEFA Champions League final. Thousands of supporters flooded the streets, vandalizing businesses, setting off fireworks and flares, and clashing with police officers who deployed tear gas. More than 200 people were injured across the country. This is far, far worse than anything that's happening in New Jersey. All right. And let's look to this as what you want to try to avoid is hundreds of people being arrested and hundreds being injured and basically fighting over nothing. I mean, it's a game and you won. So what is the, it's just unleashing, I guess. But not actually fighting for something. So what's going on in New Jersey? Admirable compared to what's going on in Paris, or what went on in Paris, because it's probably all over by now. But you have ugliness of a different sort, because far-right leader Marine Le Pen, you know, remember her, the fascist, she wrote on Twitter, where fascists gather, only in France does a football club's victory spark riots. Only in France does everyone feel compelled to lock themselves in their homes on the evening of a victory to avoid being confronted with violence. Now, of course, what she is saying is that it's the minorities, it's the immigrants. She's not saying it in so many words because she's not stupid. But if you look at all the replies to what she says, everybody else is saying that directly. Now, you know, for something like football, this is the great equalizer, all right? It's not minorities. It's not immigrants. It's not even people who are, you know, white or tan or black. It's everybody. Everybody acts like an idiot. Every group has people who are doing that. And there is something in the culture, I suppose. But to blame it on one group or another, it's just the height of ignorance. And also trying to take advantage of a situation for your own perverted causes. So, yeah, that's what's coming on in what's coming out of Paris and Europe and all that. And that was the last major game before the World Cup begins here in the United States. The way it works, in Europe, you have every country has its own leagues, and they have multiple leagues, and you get relegated and promoted depending on how you finish each season. And the teams that do the best, usually about five or six teams, they basically advance to a European competition, or actually two European competitions. One is the Europa League, one is the Champions League. Champions League is higher. And you have all these teams from all these countries participating in these two competitions. And what we saw was basically the end of the Champions League. It basically starts in August and ends in May. And this is happening at the same time that the regular season is happening as well. So it's really fascinating. But now we switch to countries, national teams, competing against each other. And that will be happening in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And boy, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and the most teams ever are competing. This is a really huge, huge amount. I think it's like almost 50 teams or something.
48, I think, is what 48. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And something that I noticed I was getting ready for, you're going to have to get to know a lot of these players. They're choosing captains and stuff like that. I saw locally one of the Panini sticker books for the World Cup.
Yeah, so I only just learned about this, but apparently kids, and I guess adults too, they collect these books. Okay, you got to pay for the book, then you got to pay for stickers, and you don't know what stickers you're going to get. It's like all those games kids play. And then you basically try to trade the ones that you don't want for the ones that you do want, and everybody's just spending a ton of money just to get the pictures of the people that everybody knows who they are anyway.
When you put it like that, you just crush my little relative's little heart.
They're not listening.
Years ago, I was introduced to this by, let's say, a little one that I'm related to. And they were very, very adamant, showing me all the pages they had filled up. This is a grand tradition. I knew nothing about it, but it's a big deal. And apparently people are really picking up the tradition here stateside in the trading card and collector's space. So you can go to your baseball card shop or wherever you get those things and seek these out just as you would like baseball cards or hockey cards or other trading and memorabilia and stuff like that. And I found them in a drugstore.
Yeah, that's right. We were in a CVS.
And I don't think anyone knew.
I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a healthcare thing.
It looked like a free giveaway, but they had some deal where if you sign up for something, you get, potentially, you get some eventually. It was really weird. But they're kind of a cool thing that might become a tradition or might already be a tradition.
I mean,
for people.
I think it would be a lot cooler if everybody wasn't being forced to spend more. And I'm sure FIFA is making a killing on this as well.
Well, That's the thing. Like, when I saw it and I realized, wow, you got to pay for this. I mean, you get a certain number of cards per pack. So it works the same way. But it is sort of like gambling. Because you then have to, you know, to fill it up, you have to buy a whole lot of them because you don't know where you're going to get your next card. But apparently there are big trading events where people get together and they'll trade cards that they have duplicates of and stuff like, or stickers, I'm sorry, that they have duplicates of, and they can coordinate online. Also, you can purchase up to 50 specific stickers from the company that runs it. Anyway, it's a big racket, but it's kind of funny to learn about it and see like what people collect. I don't know. It's not really for me, but I have an obligation to know about it. So I'm sharing my knowledge.
Yeah, no, I think you got it pretty accurately there.
You can't disappoint the little ones.
So I don't know. What if I just got pictures of all the people that are playing and just handed those out and everybody could put the stickers in there? Because,
well, I was wondering, do people make bootleg stickers?
Well, why, you know, not? Like, I mean, it's a person's face. It's their name. They're already a star. So, you know, you're going to tell me that I can't put a sticker of someone's face. Probably FIFA will tell me that. You can't put a sticker in this book unless we approve the face in that particular pose. Because otherwise you wind up with a book that just has, you know, a bunch of blank faces. I mean, you know, blank spaces where the faces should go. I don't know. Would it kill them to sell a book that has everybody's faces in it already?
Or give the book free. Don't sell that, but then just sell the stickers. Why are you selling the book? I think the book had a barcode.
I almost took the book out of the store. I thought it was free.
It looks like a catalog or something. And essentially, it's the whole thing that keeps you coming back for the stickers. So why is that even cost anything? No, I have a lot of questions. I think it's yet another thing. And I feel like I stood there for a while. I took some pictures. I was expecting to get tackled by like a FIFA security person on the way out, like in the parking lot. I figured I would be like, you know, sitting on the curb, zip tied, you know, with some, you know, foreign thug out there trying to read me, you know, French rights or something.
Look,
I don't know.
We're going to see a lot of crazy things going on in the next month or two. Stuff like you can't say the words World Cup if you run a business that is basically showing it on TV, unless you pay FIFA some extortion fee. You can't say FIFA either. You can't put that on a chalkboard. What you have to do, and this is why you see this, you will see a crazy phrase is like World Soccer Competition.
It's the World Tournament.
All kinds of dancing around this ridiculous requirement, or simply the names of the countries that are playing. But, I mean, who does it hurt to say at the World Cup, you can watch the World Cup in this particular bar or establishment? Okay, fine. You know, charging admission, you can say don't charge admission to see the game. Fine. But that's not where they stop. They say you can't even use the words.
We'll come shut you down, yeah.
It's insane.
Hit you with a cease and desist.
It's totally crazy. And these guys are making such a killing. I mean, what they did in New Jersey was... It should be a crime where they took over all the parking, forcing everybody to get on trains, making the trains have to run an immense amount of overtime, making New Jersey pay for all the security, and basically being forced to charge people a lot of money just to get there, because otherwise they have to give that to the taxpayers. You know, how else are they going to pay for all this? Because FIFA does not share any of the ticket revenue, and they don't contribute a penny towards security or towards transportation or any of that. In fact, they have more demands. They thought they conceded by saying, oh, you can charge something for transportation. Usually their demands are you have to have free transportation to our games. They renamed all the stadiums. You can't call it MetLife. I mean, I can't believe I'm standing up for MetLife Stadium. I don't really care about that. But you have to call it New York, New Jersey Stadium, because that's one form of commercialism that they don't benefit from, so they don't allow it. The examples just go on and on and on. It's disgusting. The game is beautiful. The camaraderie is amazing. The international back and forth. That is why I'll be, you know, transfixed by the whole thing. But boy, I wish somebody else was running it. What they're doing is just, it's criminal. And I'm sure it is criminal too, like legally. And keep in mind, these are the people who gave Trump the fake Nobel Prize too, because I guess they see eye to eye. It's really, really kind of sad.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I just wish they'd, yeah. I mean, you bump into one of these people at a cocktail party, you imagine, I mean, I would be sputtering. Yeah.
Well, that's going to happen at some point.
I'm not your friend.
I'm going to run into a FIFA person.
No, I'm not going to say nice things to you. I'm not going to keep it civil. And no, we're not buddy-buddy. I don't care. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. Last time it happened, I think, was, what, 30 years ago? Maybe more, that World Cup was in the United States. And now it's in three countries. It's in Canada, Mexico, and the United States. So that's going to be very unique and different. And, you know, some cities have it better. If you have, you know, a lot of space around your stadium, you can make parking and make it a lot more affordable. If you have a train system that isn't what they call a stub that just goes out to the stadium and back, then you can just run more trains that go different places. And, you know, it's like the subway. But in the case of New Jersey, it just was a bad combination. And FIFA was intent on having the final, the last game played there because of its adjacency to New York City. And I feel bad for Jersey because they're not New York City. You know, people aren't spending money in New Jersey. They're going back to New York and spending a lot of money there. And New York is benefiting, but not having to spend like New Jersey was forced to spend. Why did this happen? Prior administrations were basically suckered into this, and they kind of left it with current administrations and bad decisions. We have to pay for them.
Okay, I'm writing it down. That's 50 minutes and 15 seconds that you said. I believe you feel bad for New Jersey, and I'm going to put that under sympathy.
Oh, well, I always feel bad for New Jersey.
New Jersey.
No, I always feel bad for New Jersey, but for different reasons.
Okay, I just want to check if it was a first.
But
on
no,
this
I
show.
Do. I sympathize with New Jersey here. It's not fair. No, they deserve better. But then again, this wouldn't have happened to you if you didn't build a stadium there. Why couldn't we have a stadium in Queens or in the Bronx? You know, when I was a kid, and we're going to close off with this memory. The New York Jets played in Shea Stadium, and the New York Giants played in Yankee Stadium. Yeah, how did we manage that? Somehow we were able to do that and survive. And, you know, there wasn't one stadium for two teams, neither of which were from that state. The whole thing is just pretty silly.
I'm not convinced you're not a kid.
No, I'll never be convinced of that.
This is fun.
This was a lot of fun.
Radio's cool.
Radio is awesome, and USB is amazingly awesome.
It's a great place. There's a lot of exciting new things going on, and thank you everybody for pledging. And we're improving some of the technologies, getting machines all, you know, running at tip-top peak performance so that we can bring you exciting new music and, well, live stuff and remotes, news and information, and fun conversation like this.
You can still pledge WUSB.FM. There's a pledge button there. You can support the radio station.
But always, and there's archives.
When you talk about exciting new music, this is exciting to me, this piece we're going to go out with. It's from a Swedish rapper known as Young Lean, spelled Y-U-N-G. If you're impressed by the music, look it up for the video. Like, track it down on YouTube. It is the most amazing video I've seen in a very long time.
And yeah, they did a really good job with concept. It's a teaming up with the production and direction. It's sort of a concept, futuristic.
It's beginning now.
Movie.
Everyone take your seats.
Feature link. Shh.
See you next week. Good night. Bye. Yeah.
got that way.
Hi, this is Joey Ramone of the Ramones, and you can hear all the best in rock right here on WUSB Stony Brook.